Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Amen. So we'll continue with our topic. Because if you were building a house and you were not done, you don't go to another thing, alright? You don't just leave it like that. So we didn't finish the topic. I thought, is that not, you should be a pastor, right? So Pastor Solomon, I assume, right? Your pastor. So come and sit with the pastors. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Alright, so let's get into the word. I will continue where we stopped last Sunday. The subtopic called The Leaking Roof and the Wretched Man's Awakening. Right? Remember I said this topic, right? This subtopic. And I remember I even said a few things under it. So I will just start from there. The parable of the leaking roof. I said I invented that. Amen? Yes. Hope you like that invention. It's not in the Bible. Don't go and say I invented something in the Bible. It is biblical wisdom that I use to explain the parable of the leaking roof. I was meditating and my eyes were open to see a roof leaking and how the water was dropping. And I'm going to read what I wrote, but let me just say first to give you a hint. How that water drops little by little into the room, isn't it? And let's assume you felt like you had a solution for that problem. Meaning to stop the water from what? Leaking. Right? And you implemented your solution only because you assumed it was going to work. But after a while, you still discovered that the water is still what? Dropping in the room. Alright? And you are seeing a lot of effects. And I gave you an illustration of something that happened in my house very, very lately. In my master bedroom, where my wife stays as the master, there was a situation. Yeah, she's the master of the house. So there was a situation. And the wall was so wet. Sorry, not wet very well yet, but a little by little, we're seeing water as some part of the, yeah, some, not down necessarily, some part of the wall. So a part of it, water was just, it was getting wet, and we didn't really pay attention to it. You know how Nigerians can be. I mean, Nigerian too. So we said the thing has not spoiled very well. Let it spoil first. And we're wondering what the problem was, but we knew something was not right somewhere, because naturally water does not affect the house. That issue of water rising from the ground, it's not in the house. So we're wondering what is really happening. And he kept on wondering, until the effect became so severe. One time we went and we saw Shekinah playing with the wall. And she almost wanted to lick it. And they rushed and held her. I said, vomit, vomit, vomit. And I don't even know whether she took one spoon or something. But we're shouting, vomit it, vomit it. And she was just looking at us. Something that has entered lower, bigger intestine, small intestine. Now it's just in God we trust. That's the main issue. And I just lay here on the stomach and spoke words of protection and healing. Before the problem will start, let the solution happen. And that was what now made me to say, what is really the problem of this war? I always have been seeing the war. You know, but I'm not always there. So what is the problem of this war? And I had to call a plumber to come check it. And they discovered that two parts of a pipe that's connected to the water heater had broken. And the water was just wetting the whole part of the wall around there. And the man was wondering how the hell it happened. And of course, he said it was a substandard pipe. So he put the original pipe. And the problem was solved. Hallelujah to Jesus. But little by little, the thing was happening. And I didn't really see the effect until the time it became so wet. and my baby had to now fetch from it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is when I discovered that this problem is really serious. Alright? But it started very little. And talk to the technical, let them solve this thing. The problem started very simple. Are we together? Just oil or something? It started very, very simple. Just little drops of water, isn't it? Little drops of water, yet waiting, the effect was seen little by little until it became very severe. So right now, can we say water is powerful? Not necessarily, but because we neglected it. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? The little issue that would have happened there, or something that would have not actually been an issue, became a severe issue. Do you guys understand what I'm trying to say? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, just imagine you had for a solution, you know, something that you just assumed to be the actual solution to stop water from entering your house from the roof. And you implemented it, and water kept entering. That simply means that your solution was not a solution enough. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And water will keep on entering because that was not a solution you implemented. Although you assumed it was what? A solution. So if I assume that something is true, is the thing true? Talk to me, church. Is the thing true? And will I keep on suffering if the solution is not true? Yes. So assumed knowledge is not actual knowledge. Alright? And in God, we are not supposed to be sitting on the fence. God is so wise, He understands this more than everybody on the earth. And so, He wouldn't want to give us some assumptions for knowledge. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we can have actual knowledge. Not some assumption. So I have the Holy Spirit. And I understand all things. In the name of Jesus. Now say it boldly. Say, I have the Holy Spirit. And I can understand all things in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the potency. In fact, the Bible calls him in Ephesians 1. Let's see very fast, verse 13. See how the Bible describes the Holy Spirit. Now, God achieved something for us on Calvary. He said, it is finished, isn't it? Meaning He has done everything for us to come into glory and live the way we are supposed to live, like He designed from the beginning, before the fall of man. But that was never, you know, brought into manifestation because of the disobedience of man. And so He came and achieved, you know, the victory for us on Calvary. When He achieved it, He now said, I will not leave you guys helpless. I need to come again in another dimension. Aros Paracletus. Another of the same kind. So that whatever I've achieved for you on Calvary becomes your reality in time today. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? So see how then He implemented this. He said, in Him, that is the Holy Spirit, Paul speaking. He said, in Him, that's why you see capital letter H there, God Almighty, describing Him in the dimension of the Holy Ghost now. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed in God, I mean, what happened? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of promise. When you believed in God, you believed in what He did for you on Calvary. He said, okay, now that you believe, take the Holy Ghost. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? As a proof that you have believed. And not just that the Holy Spirit should be in you. He's supposed to achieve something in you. What is the Holy Spirit supposed to achieve in you? Let's see the next part of Scripture, verse 14. Verse 14. Who is the guarantee? So the Holy Spirit is the surety. The Holy Spirit is what? The guarantee of our what? Inheritance. What inheritance? What Jesus attained on Calvary. Unto the redemption of the purchased possession. The possession has been purchased. But we need to bring it in time to become our reality. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? The redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. So Jesus has attained it, but we need the Holy Spirit to make sure what Jesus has attained on Calvary becomes our reality today. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And that's why if you are not working in partnership with the Holy Spirit today, you can never touch what God attained for you on Calvary. I mean, this is what I mean. He helps you pray. He leads you. He guides you. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Like you hear God speaks to you. That is why a Christian who does not hear God will always weigh off. He will always be having issues with his life. You'll be wondering, but Jesus said it is finished. What is happening to me? You need to embrace the ministry of God through the Holy Spirit. That is the only way God is happening on the earth today. He has come in another way. Are you guys getting on? I'm trying to explain to you. Aros Paracletus, another of the same kind. Now God is on the earth as the Holy Spirit. All right? Blessed Kenneth Hagin will say, it's not little. I just call him wonderful. First Pastor C. Blessed. He's still alive. But he will say the Holy Spirit is God in gaseous form. More like God in gaseous form. All right? He has the ability now to what? Manifest himself in the lives of many people at the same time. If you have known God as omnipresence, this is how he can be happening in everybody's life at the same time, as the Holy Ghost, in his dimension as the Holy Spirit. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you now? So all of us seated here are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, aren't we? At the same time, he's speaking and instructing you guys in different dimensions, isn't it? You have a problem in this area, you have a problem in that area, the Holy Ghost is giving you your instruction, and at the same time he's giving your instruction, he's giving me my instruction. At the same time he's consoling you, he's consoling me. Is God not wonderful? So that is how God, you know, brings into manifestation all that he has attained on Calvary in your life today through the Holy Spirit. And you see, many people don't like the ministry of the Holy Spirit because it's a little bit complicated. One of the first things that happen when you are filled with the Holy Ghost is that you begin to say some things that sound so foolish to men. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, to men, whatever we are saying is foolishness. When men hear us doing labo, loco, bahara, basuba, they say, we are saying stupid things. And some of them may even mock us. But it's a good place to be. The Bible said the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of what? A mere man. In fact, the Bible says, when Jesus was prophesying, was speaking about our days through the ministry of Prophet Isaiah, he said there will be a time that God will start a new thing upon the face of the earth. I'm paraphrasing. And he said, with strange tongues will God bring them into their rest. With strange tongues. So is tongues not, praying in tongues, is it not strange? It's very strange. Now, Paul spoke to us in Romans 8 from verse 26. Say, we don't know how to pray as we ought to. As you are all seated here, your mind is too small to know how to take everything that belongs to you. A lot of us here, 100% of everybody here, we don't know what is happening at the back end of our life. Do we know that? Do you know what is happening in your system? Do you know what is happening at your back? What I mean by at your back is what people are saying about you. Do you know the plans people have for you? You truly don't know. So if you live your life without God, you are God. You should be called Igwe, a God. Because you are as powerful as God. That is why you can live your life without God. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Any man that lives his life independent of God is considering himself a God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You see that here now, somebody plants a charm in your house. How are you sure you survive that charm if you don't have God? Have you heard people who died? That their legs were getting swollen and swollen and swollen and they finally died? Have you heard things like that? Charms has killed a lot of people on the earth. That two people can sit there and say they don't like you. And they will determine when you leave the earth. Uneducated, they don't have PhD. You have the biggest, better, something even better than PhD. And two people sit in the village with strange mark on their face. And say, this one will not go anywhere. In fact, some will not kill you. They will just do something with calabash. You with your ceramic cups at home cannot make progress. They use calabash and stop a destiny that has ceramic cups. You see that? Anybody that has spiritual edge, anybody that is spiritual in this world, sorry, compared with a natural man. What do I mean by a natural man? A man who has not embraced the spirit realm, the Holy Spirit, God Almighty. If you keep those men, those human beings, you know, the natural man and a spirit man, a man that has an advantage, I don't want to use the advantage yet, a man who is connected to the spirit realm without the Holy Spirit, right? Probably the realm of darkness. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Such a man has an edge over a natural man, anytime, anything. That's why it's called supernatural, meaning it is super, above natural. Anybody that has a connection with the supernatural has an edge over a natural man. And that's why it is wickedness to your life and your generation that you should live your life without God. In fact, you don't love yourself if you want to live without God. You hate yourself. You don't understand the complication here. This is what I'm trying to make you understand. Satan can determine when you leave the world. He can decide that you leave the earth anytime he feels through his agent. Not greeting somebody can make you leave the earth. I know what I'm telling you. Because you see, the character of human beings cannot be predicted. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Natural men. You may just be living your life. Somebody is offended that you wore red the day she wore red. And that's your end. I was watching some reels on Facebook and a lady, I think from what she said, she's from Kogi State. They were asking her about her ex, and she said she called his name twice. I said, I'm just pitying him. That it takes 20 naira or 15 naira or something, she said. Within 20 naira or 15 naira, for her to just go and submit his name somewhere. And that's the end of his life. How can you say my life is worth 15 naira or 20 naira? But you see, you have already cheapened yourself. You were womanizing. So truly, it's probably worth 10 naira. For somebody who has an edge with the spiritual. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I saw another video again. A lady was using iPhone 15. They said, how did you get iPhone 15? She said, they will give me. They said, what do you mean by that? She now show some beads on her hands. And show some on her waist. That's why if I see you put beads on your waist, which I don't know how the hell I will see, I think you are like that lady. Because why will you carry beads and just want to put on your waist? So I just like to put beads on my waist. You know, you should listen to that song that say, how I hear the chains falling. It needs to fall from your waist too. Amen. As a Christian, you do what is necessary. What not what everybody is doing. Are you guys get what I'm trying to say? Because you have rest in Christ Jesus. And she said, any man that sleeps with me begs me to give me his money. Meaning when she comes in contact with men, they are transferring their hard-earned money. Money they had sleepless night for. Transfer it in a day. So you have seen some men upon the face of the earth that you wonder what is wrong with them. It's kayamata that is wrong with them. You'll be wondering, this man is, what is making this man behave like? You leave 5 children and a woman, and you take all your money and you are giving a girl. It's not ordinary. No natural man can behave like that. Such a man has been influenced by something spiritual. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Do you understand me this wonderful morning? You think I'm speaking Nigerian film because you have watched it in Nigerian film, right? Or Super Story. Is it not what happens in this world that they attempt to act? If it was not happening, they would have not known what storyline to give. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But because it happens. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that is why you must be spiritual as a Christian. Very spiritual. See what I said. Be spiritual as a Christian. There are many Christians who don't want to be spiritual. They get embarrassed being spiritual. When they see us praying in tongues, they wonder why we're looking so... We don't want to look so demure. What is Lebelegelek? Hi, that guy did fold my hand. Samson, stop praying like that. Samson, my friends are here. Why are you embarrassing me? What is Shakwakwa? Samson, what is that? Then you see Abigail. Abigail is your girlfriend or your fiance. They say, let us pray. Abigail begins with, and Jude is like, what is that? Abigail, you are embarrassing me. People are here. And your friend Nala. So you get embarrassed. I'm sure there are people even sitting there who get embarrassed by spiritual things. They can't do it in public. So are you a Christian who pray in the spirit? Well, I pray in the spirit, but not the way. Don't try to explain. You pray in the spirit. Don't make it to look 21st century praying in the spirit. Tell them I pray in the Holy Ghost. I shark tongues like I smoke it. Rigo safalia. It enters me and comes out through everywhere. Have you seen people that smoke that it comes out from their nose and ear? I shark it. It comes out. Liga, vara. Those days on campus, if you know me, you know me. Anywhere I'm walking in the night, if you don't hear somebody shouting and praising God, I'm praying in tongues. That was Prophet Simon. Just go and peep. Because of course, what did I didn't have a wife, I didn't have anything. Why would I not waste my time on God? Why would I not spend my time? I didn't even have a girlfriend. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I don't have a problem. So I'll just wake up, bath, arrange myself, going to come up. You see me praying in the spirit. Then when I remember a scripture, I'll begin to confess. Oh, hallelujah. You will see me like this, jumping. And I don't care who the hell thinks I'm not the more. Because my wife will identify me. She will like me for what she's seen. The ones that feel like, no problem. You go, I go. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Don't hide spirituality for any reason. Be proud of it. Some of you are suffering because you are ashamed of Jesus Christ. Even your status, you don't post Jesus. Yes, there are people like that. You that are posting may be surprised. There are some people that don't want to embarrass themselves by posting some kind of spiritual things. They feel it's hyper spiritual. But if it's worldly challenge, they are there. They'll go to TikTok and do it. Christian challenge now, they will not put it. They are hiding Jesus. And they want their life to show the glory of God. When last you post something inspirational with the word of God, revelatory on your status, you broke the word and explained, and your friends say, wow, that's impressive, that's beautiful. But some of you, there are some people I see, I just delete their number. You know, I delete people's number very well, because I don't want to be seeing rubbish on my WhatsApp. You just come on WhatsApp and you just open somebody's WhatsApp and you just see the person put 3 laugh and he say 1 mumu thing. You can even Snapchat, mumu mumu chat, and put on their status. No word of God, memes. Just joke, play. Their life is full of play. You know, one time I was counseling a lady and she said they had an issue in their house. And they went to pray. Prophet somewhere. And the prophet looked at one of their boys and said, this one has the spirit of play. I think some of you have the spirit of play. Play too much. Not knowing you are getting old. You know, a lady posted something that got to me. I started laughing. She's in church. She posted that when you are getting to 20 something, it's like it's very far. You can't wait to enter. You know, some of you that want to enter a relationship those days, you'll be praying to get to 18. Before you know, 18, 20 has happened. Immediately you get to 20 now, to reach 30 is not hard. It's just like you are offloading something. You now see 30 now and I say, Jesus Christ, when I reach 30, you now be angry with yourself that you have reached 30. No, 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 I'm not 30. They say you are 30. No, you now check, you haven't 31. Jesus Christ. What is happening? I now said, a message, I said, are you scared? I laugh. I said, are you scared? Yes, sir, I'm scared, sir. 21, 22. That's why when people joke with their life, like I said last Sunday, they always regret it. You just enter one casual relationship, say it's casual. In fact, some will say I'm in talking terms. You're not serious. You're not a serious person. Be spiritual, identify your husband, marry, and enjoy your life. Mm-mm. You are in talking terms. You don't enter six relationships. I will counsel you, but sister, you don't go calm down. And now again, you are in love after 5 relationships. Who dared you to be in love now? What are you in love for? Say, no, I am sure of this one. That's how you were sure of the third one, remember? This thing is only in God you find the real solution. Are you listening to me? Still unserious and still being in love. Not praying and you discover love. How? No relationship with the Holy Ghost. You discover love. How? Where did that love come from? I submit to you today. Write this date down. You will break up. Except I'm not a prophet. It will end in shambles. No, it's not a joke. It's the truth. Because Jesus is not the foundation of that relationship. If it does not end now, it will end in marriage. It's the truth. Some people think when they marry, they win. We against the world. For all the people that say we will not make it, see us today. We survive marriage. You marry no means say the relationship is okay. I think I should start removing this vernacular. The way I'm joining it with the English is sounding funny. Are we together? You marry doesn't mean that the relationship is okay. You know, I've seen people like that. They'll just go and post on Facebook and say, we again. For all the people that thought will not make it, Jesus is bigger than you. Jesus is in me. Stop talking to us like that. That doesn't mean it will work. It's because we don't want to do the right thing. That is why a lot of things are getting redefined. Do you know right now, ladies don't mind breaking up. Men don't mind divorcing in marriage. They don't really care. There are a lot of people that don't care about divorce. I beg you, I can't take this marriage. No perseverance. You know why you can't enjoy it? The foundation of that relationship is not God. Some just get married. That's the day they discover they made a mistake. After one wedding night, like this, what am I doing here? How did we get here? Because Jesus was never the foundation. If it was Jesus, he will make sure that what you marry is not makeup. He knows the actual face. If it's Jesus, he will make sure that what you marry is not the sweeping in church. You know, sometimes some of you are deceived by a lady that sweeps church very well. I'm coming for you that don't even sweep. Your own is worse. Can you say, Kai? Your own is worse. We have not even started your case. This is somebody sweeping church. Say, Kai. See, we have material. Especially a young pastor. You are pastoring a church and one lady starts sweeping church. You are like, God, Father, I thank you. Then after service, you say, I was so blessed. You know, they are very strategic. I was so blessed by the message. God brought you to the earth for me. May your anointing never run dry. And what else did you add? I celebrate you, sir. Sir, please, I don't know if I'm permitted to bring one soup I was creating. I made one soup like that. I created one soup like that. So. Why? I don't know if I can give password. You know those days on campus, password ate a lot of food. Say, what is that? Says somebody that made. Did you ask me before you collect food? No, sir. I think one time said he was giving permission that he should do. We want to make food. So come and meet him. Say, make this and that and this. That's what prophet likes. So one time he came. I said, who made? I said, okay, go and eat the food. He says, no, sir, it's for you. The person suffered and made the food. The person suffered. And he said, you too suffer and eat the food. And when you eat the food, make sure you tell the person you ate the food. So that they will not think that it's 1-0, I'm owing them something. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's wisdom. You may not believe it, but it's wisdom. As you are here, have you seen anybody's heart? It's not God that knows everybody's heart. Somebody can tell you, I don't love you, and they can't sleep without thinking of you. It's very true. Especially ladies. Nobody lies like ladies. If a lady says, I don't like you, a lot of time they like you. Because if they don't like you, why do they have to tell you they don't like you? Have you observed that? Say, it's not looking fine. The guy is not even fine, self. The guy is fine. It's true. You know, one of my friends said he doesn't think anybody will understand women. I don't believe that, actually. I'm just telling you what he said. But I don't believe that. But I'm just telling you what he said. And I asked him why. He said when God created the woman, we were sleeping. So how the hell do we understand? In fact, it was not small sleep. We were in a deep sleep. Meaning we don't know anything. You know, there's a woman of God that said something lately. I don't know if you guys believe that. She said, nobody can please a woman. Have you heard that statement before? That's a woman not in Christ. Oh. Are we together? So that women, why is the congregation? Women, I'm so sorry. Make it alive again. Are you here? So sorry for that. Let's continue what we're doing. You are the ones that make the atmosphere powerful. This, if I shut you up now, this service is ended. So let me respect myself. Are we together? Thank you. And we're back. I'm better. All right. So I'll read. Consider a building with a small hole in the roof. Every time it rains, water finds its way through that hole. Now the owners are not blind. They know something is wrong, so they apply a remedy. A path they assume is working, a solution they feel is enough, and because they trust the assumption that it's not the actual truth, what happens? They stop watching that hole, right? But the remedy was never a remedy. It only looked like one. And so rain after rain, season after season, water keeps entering quietly, little by little, drops by drop. Nobody panics because no single drop looks dangerous yet, isn't it? Until one day, like it happened to me, the room is filled, the walls are stained, the furniture is ruined, the foundation is soaked, and the damage is suddenly very severe. Now there is this deception. At the moment, it feels as if water is very powerful, isn't it? But water did not become powerful. Water simply did what water has always done. Against a remedy that was never a remedy. The severity was not the strength of the water. It was the duration of the neglect. So for many years now, the church thinks they have a solution against Satan. That's what I'm trying to say now. We think, as the body of Christ, we probably have a solution against Satan. Now, assume that solution was never the right solution. Was some mere assumption. You know, some denomination call it, they call some of the man-made ideas, they call it canon laws. That's what they call it. And I taught you before, God does not want any human input in what he is doing with any man. He has designated the Holy Spirit to making sure that all that he attained for us on Calvary becomes our very reality. Alright? So if God needs a man in the middle, the man must align with the Holy Spirit. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? To making sure that this reality becomes your own. What Jesus attained becomes your own. If that man will not align with the Holy Spirit, but will want to bring his own ideas, the man will ruin everything God has done. You will see that it will be underfitting. Remember what I taught you about artificial intelligence? In artificial intelligence, in computer science, I taught you before, I have to say this every time all over again because I'm wondering if everybody will understand me, that the goal of computer is to make sure that machines behave like human beings, and it is through artificial intelligence that they want to achieve this. And we have what we call trained vectors and untrained vectors. We train some vectors, so call those things we train vectors, for instance. Other topics, call them other things. Are we together? Train vectors, and when we train these vectors, we throw the vectors in a machine through programming, Python and etc. We throw it in a machine, and the machine takes the character of these trained vectors. Are we together? So if the machine is not working very well, you don't blame the machine. What do you blame? The vectors. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? More like what God taught us in the word. As a man thinketh, so is he. So if a man is not behaving well, what do you blame? His ideology. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And that's why God left you the way you are and died for you, even though you were in severe sin. He knew that what was causing the sin was not what he was seeing physically, but the fact that you had a wrong understanding about yourself. And that's why when he came, he altered that wrong understanding and gave you a new identity, so that the sin problem will be solved. Are we together? So in artificial intelligence, when the trained vectors match up with the actions of the machine, if the machines are acting rightly, according to the expectation of the person that trained the vectors, what we call it? Overfitting. It fits. But if the machines are not acting rightly, we call it what? Underfitting. Meaning it did not fit. And we blame what? The trained vectors, not what? Huh? Not the machine. And you know, I don't think I've said this perspective before. But the trained vectors are the mercies of the person that trained them. And let me say it again. The trained vectors are the mercies of the person that would train them. Now listen to what Jesus said, Isaiah 4:6. He said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. He didn't stop there. That's where most times we stop. It continued. He said, because the priests, are you getting this now? It is because the priests neglect, firstly, they out of their pride will not even receive knowledge yet. It's difficult to deal with a man. They feel like what they think is knowledge at the status quo, which were actually some mere assumption, is the actual knowledge. It's not easy for somebody to preach this, especially, that is why people of God, I tell you the truth. Your life should be at the mercy of the Holy Spirit, not any man. Because for a man to come back and tell you what I preached last Sunday was not true, some people would prefer to die. I tell you the truth. And that is why you must always be at the mercy of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? Very important. So the vectors, the trained vectors, are the mercy of the person that trained them. The word of God says, because the priests neglect knowledge and will not accept it. That is why the people ultimately are what? Perishing for lack of word. And if you look deeply, God spoke in his word that the priests were going to be punished. Because even though right now the situation is quite severe, the members, the people are suffering. You know, we are seeing, take for instance now, you come to an assembly and you see people misbehaving, you know, misbehaving. And there's a solution. What looks like a solution, a house of solution, let's say a church, all right? Every Sunday people go to church, but within the week, the character you see are very terrible. God is saying that even though what is happening within the week is terrible and the people can be blamed to a fair extent, I will ultimately blame the people in the solution centers. Let's take the solution centers to be church now. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Because that is where they are supposed to understand my word. But the people there who are the leaders are neglecting the truth. Do you know even Jesus, when he went to his own, the Bible says his own word refused him? They rejected him. He went to pastors in his days. We can substitute those elders for pastors today. The priests. They rejected his knowledge. They felt like it was out of the blues. And they rejected him. And the Bible said Jesus wept. You know why he wept? Because a lot of times when people see people rejecting knowledge, when people neglect sound doctrine, they think it's just a momentary thing that has a momentary effect. And, you know, I've heard people unintelligently saying things like, we don't forget about sound doctrine, let's rush into power. That's from the depth of folly, the deepest part of folly. That's where those words came out from. You can't talk like that. There's no true power without sound doctrine. We don't want a generation that will seek the power of God, see a measure of it, and then come back to start living like the world finally. We have seen those things happen countless times. A pastor who is known to be good before, who God have used before, all of a sudden the pastor becomes the talk of town. In a wrong way. They caught him doing this, they caught him doing that. It's a very bad thing. A lot of times you would think he's a pastor's, how do I put it now? You think the pastor is just a bad person from the onset. Even all the good things he has done, now nobody will remember them. They will now be insulting him and disgracing him in the neighborhood. You see? Even though he did not, I don't believe any pastor wake up in the morning and say, God, I want to be a fake man of God. I'll open church. I don't believe that. Because the work of the ministry is very hard. I don't think anybody will want to go through this toughness just to deceive people. I think at some point, people compromise. A lot of times, at some point, people will compromise. Not from the beginning. But if you look at it ultimately, deeply from the root, the Bible said the reason why they compromise is because they are not built on the rock. Luke 6. If your life were built on the rock, on Christ, sound doctrine. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. The Bible says when the flood of this life arise and the wind beats that house, that human being vehemently, the Bible said the man will not be subdued to the ground because his life was ultimately built on the rock, not on sinking sand. That's why even builders today will tell you foundation is everything. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? If you get it wrong at the foundation, anything you are seeing up there that looks beautiful will not last. If your foundation is bad, forget any nice thing, light, roof, it will all scatter. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And that's why we must not joke with sound doctrine. Of course, Paul, knowing this, told Timothy, his son, he said, pay attention to your life, Timothy. And Timothy said, how, for instance? And Paul said, this is how you pay attention to your life. By paying attention to your doctrine. He said, by doing so, you protect your life and those that hear you. That simply means, if you really love your life and want to pay attention to your life, Pay attention to the things that get into your life, get into your soul. That's why the Bible says, ultimately guard your heart with all diligence. For from it flows what? The issues of life. If you don't guard your heart with all diligence, it means that you don't really understand life. Because nothing is better than what you know as a human being. It is what you know that controls your life ultimately. Alright? So, look at it. It is so severe. Very, very severe. And that's why I was trying to explain, if you look at it very vividly, the pastor or the priest is just saying anything that comes to his mind. Maybe he's even having some biases. He's arguing with another preacher somewhere. He does not want to believe the preacher. You know, sometimes you can reject truth because of the people you hate. That person I don't like is the one saying it. I don't agree with him. Now, you as members are now suffering. I think I've taught this before. You are suffering the consequences of your preacher's biases. I don't know that if you get what I'm trying to explain to you. Anything now, I showed you in scripture one time, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. So beautiful. Jesus looked at them and said, yes, they said this and it is right. But, I said, what? Jesus agreed with the people that want to kill him. Not like he agreed ultimately with everything they said. But when they said the truth, he did not say it's a lie. It's a lie. He said, they said this and it is true. I showed you in this church one day. Can't really remember the scripture now. Then he now corrected the wrong things, emphasized the wrong things they do. Are you listening to me? Like I promised myself to say something this morning. I was on Facebook and I saw something that really broke my heart. You know, of course I've taught you before, sing songs to the glory of God. If you truly want to sing songs because of people's character, you probably may not have any song to sing finally. I tell you the truth. Meanwhile, we are not affirming wrong characters by saying sing songs and neglect characters. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. If Paul said in the word, if God said in the word through Paul, that the bishop and the pastor must be a man of good reputation. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Of course, because he ministers the word of God to people. So is the psalmist and every minister of the gospel. We are supposed to be of what? Good reputation. Alright? Ultimately. But I said to you, with what is happening, with the neglect of sound doctrine that is happening so much, sing songs to the glory of God. Of course, if the character is so severe, you can neglect the song. But if it's just mad characters, like you just see little childish things, sing songs. I saw somebody who made a mistake recently on Facebook. And I think that was a severe mistake. You know, sometimes people who are in this era of revelation, who God has blessed to give them men of God that can teach them sound doctrine, sometimes if the men of God are not careful to curtail them, these people go out of hand. They begin to become proud with this knowledge they are having. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So the man of God really needs to watch them carefully. Because the Bible says we can't teach truth until we are really a heart. We really have a heart full of love. Without a heart full of love, you can't really teach truth. If you don't have the love of God in your heart, you can't teach truth from so much sincerity. Even while you are teaching, it is because you want to disgrace that person. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You don't teach you don't correct people to disgrace them, to make them feel bad. You correct people because you really love them and mean well for them. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So I may not be able to vet the motive of that psalmist, but he was trying to correct a song. And his heart, he felt like the song was wrong. And of course, I felt like he saw that song from a wrong perspective. That is why he felt like the song was wrong. And I can prove to you that even both arguments are not even correct. Yeah, because if we do substitution properly and look at that word offer, it is to acknowledge. It is not like now you are offering something to God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But to understand that your body has already been offered. I don't know that you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you. And that's why I can use I quote scripture. I don't just say it. 1 Corinthians 6. It said, don't you know that you've been bought with a price and that your body has been offered? You see that? We didn't offer our body. Jesus offered the body already for us. What do we do today? The word offer in Romans 12 is the word acknowledge in Greek. So I acknowledge that God, you have offered my body. And that way, I what? live a sacrificial life as a living sacrifice to the Lord by getting my mind renewed to do His work, His will upon the face of the earth. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You see, both parties are wrong, but the grace and mercies of God should have prevailed. And the reason I'm saying this is because I think some of you learn wrong characters from what you see online. And I think I owe you explaining some of these things sometimes, even though it's not my business. Because they are not my congregants. Are we together? But when somebody makes a mistake, be gracious. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Be gracious to the people. Don't insult people anyhow. Because what got to me was even the insult that he got. What is the meaning of calling a psalmist, a fellow psalmist with you, Olodo, uprising? How can you call a minister of the gospel an Olodo? I think it's a movement lately that people are trying to talk down, Olodo uprising. And you look at a minister of the gospel who has ministered, recently he was ministering in one of the biggest platforms in Nigeria. And you call the person Olodo. And there are many unbelievers watching us on Facebook. Meanwhile, the person even apologized afterwards, I heard. And another person came under the comment and is excited, he called a minister Olodo. Now we have to be very careful. And you know, some of us, we have this funny way we see life. We think when people praise you, God is praising you. Oh, I weep for this generation. Now somebody look at you and say, oh, you are a great man. If you are not a great man, go and become a great man. Look at the applause. Thank God that they even have faith that you can be great. If you know you are doing something that suggests you are a perished man, go and work on yourself. I love Chris Devon for these words years ago. Many years ago. He said to us, he said, some people will start calling you apostle and say, ah, you are the greatest revivalist that will hit the nation very soon. I am seeing this in you. I'm seeing that in you. If you know you are struggling, brother, go and pray. Go and pray. Don't be deceived. And start raising your shoulder up and say, ah, they say I'm the one bringing the next move. Say you that cannot stay one 5 minutes without thinking a stupid thing. He said, go and pray. Obviously, it's not you. Very sincere truth. People don't know that the only well done that matters is God's well done. Well done, faithful, and what? The first word he mentioned after well done was what? Faithful. Your faithfulness must be ultimately to God. Why, in a generation that if you apply on TV and just cry, people think you are in alignment with the Holy Ghost. What should be our guarantee and proof that people are doing well is that they are obeying the word of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It doesn't matter if you are crying. If you are wrong, you are wrong. What if I'm crying and I'm saying that, and this assumption I have as knowledge, and I'm crying and saying a wrong doctrine. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm sincerely saying a wrong doctrine. What am I? I'm sincerely wrong. If my father cries and tell me 2 plus 2 is 48, I say, my son, the way I love you, I will not lie to you, but 2 plus 2 is 48. My father loves me, I have no doubt. But 2 plus 2 is not what? I don't know what people are getting on trying to explain to you. Very important. That's one thing that kills this our generation. Sometimes older people can be wrong, but you don't have to disrespect them. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You don't have to make them feel bad. We all know that some things we know our parents don't know. Even while we're in school, some of you that your parents have helped to do assignments, some of us did not pass. But if they ask who did it, because you did not pass, you don't want to even bring your parents out. So who did the assignment for you? Teacher, what happened first? Let me know the person I will choose. Say, you did not pass, you failed. It's my elder brother. But if you pass, it's your mother. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Nobody. So neglect the wrong doctrine, but don't insult the prophet, or the pastor, or the apostle, or the evangelist that says so. But neglect it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I was talking with some young people one time. I remember they were trying to prove a wrong doctrine because an elderly preacher said it in this country. So they were trying to, when I was telling them it was wrong about tithing, they said, no, it's right. So we just so that the brotherly love will continue, we just stopped talking. it's okay. You know, we can disagree to agree. So we hugged that. It was just okay. But we, in our heart, we knew that we did not agree anything. So, but we kept on talking. Well, that didn't stop the fellowship. One of those days, the elderly preacher now came online and said, what I said about tithing was wrong. He said, God has corrected me. And he spoke the correction. They couldn't even pick my call. I just did conference call, sharp, sharp. They were not picking. They knew what I was coming for. I made sure when they did not pick, I now called them individually. I said, there's something I want to talk to you about. I said, what did I tell you that time? They started laughing. I said, see, but you even had the mind to say, the Holy Ghost told me that so-so person was right. I said, which Holy Ghost told you? They just try to make sure the word of God aligns with a human being's perspective. Because he's elderly. Now, no disrespect to the elderly. But who is the foundation of our faith? And who is the finisher of our faith? Very important. Let me tell you, God thinks you are very stupid if you believe an ideology because an older person believes it. Not because it is true. Not even Jesus allowed that to happen in his days. He came. Moses had already preached a perspective. In fact, the Bible said Moses did not even preach it, but Moses allowed it necessarily. Because of the hardness of the people. In other words, Moses knew it was wrong. But Moses allowed it because people were stubborn. The members were too stubborn. Like a church today that the man of God said, I want to change a doctrine I started. They say, you can't change it. If you try to change it, we'll change you. That's how people can be tough. How can you tell somebody who started something that you are going to change him? He said, I just discovered that thing is wrong. Imagine Moses in that situation. So Moses didn't want to be changed. But God Almighty understood because he is God. And when he came as Jesus, he said to them, that's your belief is wrong. They say, are you greater than our father Moses that said it? In the book of Matthew, the synoptics is littered all over there. And Jesus looked at them and said, Moses said this to you because of the hardness of your heart, meaning you were too stubborn. That's why Moses allowed this thing to happen. He said, but in the beginning, the way God wanted it in the beginning was not so. And it's not so. So right now, I as Jesus Christ have come as Alpha to make sure the beginning starts right now. As it's supposed to be in the beginning, so must it be now, and so shall it be at the end. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Not what anybody thinks, not what any denomination thinks. If your denomination are practicing something that is wrong, see, thank God that you started there. I'm not saying insult them. But the truth is that if you cannot change it, find your way out. If you cannot change it, what do? You find your way out. It's the truth. With no insult and disrespect. Because even Jesus looked at a denomination. He looked at the church. And he said, destroy it. Let me show you the story. I'll paraphrase it. He was walking, Jesus, with his disciples. They were just going to preach probably. And they saw this beautiful building. Wonderful artifact. Everything powerful. And nice. Beautiful to behold. And the disciples said, wow. Look at this temple. So let's substitute temple now for church. Look at this church. So beautiful. And Jesus looked at it. And the Bible said Jesus did not even smile, didn't look happy. He then said, destroy this temple. I will destroy this temple. In 3 days, you are seeing a beautiful building. Your own is to destroy. He said, just imagine. Imagine you are the one walking with Jesus. And Jesus looks at the building that you are telling. You showed Jesus. These people tried to. It must be so many millions in this thing. It's so beautiful. And Jesus said, I will destroy it. What? He said, and in 3 days, I will build it. How can you build something that took years? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Like what you are building now. Imagine we took over a year to build it or less. And Jesus looks at it and tells me, I will destroy it in 3 days. I will build it up again. If you are in those days, won't you suspect Jesus? You know, some of us don't have a problem with everything Jesus said because we know Jesus better today. But imagine you were amidst the disciples. You understand? I sincerely understand why some people left. Even though it's not justified ultimately. There was a time Jesus came, nobody was in church. Nobody was in church. Nobody in John 6. He came and the Bible said everybody has left. And he looked at the 12. Instead of him to say, go and ask members why they left. He said, how about you people? You will not leave too. Now, who wants to be under such a pastor? I don't know that you people are getting what I'm trying to explain. You know, when you read it in Bible, you see it in a very holy way. So you don't even think about it critically. That you come, you lose all your members. The next thing, pastor says, all our members are gone in different departments. All of them are gone. It's okay. Will you not go too? Why will you even have the mind to ask us that question? And Peter said, to whom should we go to? What he replied, you have the words of eternal life. And Jesus said, of course, okay, no problem. Since you choose to stay. Hallelujah to Jesus. Very important. Amen. He said, I will destroy it and build it in 3 days. And he meant for his body. We must learn to believe the word of God over everything. Meaning, our bodies being a function of what the glory of God have attained on Calvary is what Jesus truly calls the temple. You know, let me say something deeply. It's not part of the message, but let me say, a lot of times people don't understand that even though it is true that we are perfect in our spirit and our body has not entered into the perfection of our spirit yet, ultimately, God does not want our body and spirit to be separated in terms of the glory. He wants the glory in our spirit to work fully, 100% on our body. Are you listening to me? Get it. The soul is more like the intermediate. The realities of your spirit finds expression on your body when your soul gains understanding about the reality of your spirit. Because your body is supposed to enter into the reality of your spirit. The fall was a separation. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When Adam ate from the wrong tree, there was a separation. His eyes were opened for him to begin to see himself from the lenses of the flesh. God never destined our body to be the first thing we see when we want to check our identity. God destined our spirits to be the first thing we will see if we want to check our identity. The door of our being is supposed to be our spirit, not our body. I'll explain. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul said, we groan in our body, that what is mortal be swallowed up by life. What is life then? The life of God in our spirit. Are we together? In other words, Paul is saying that our body is supposed to be in our spirit, not our spirit in our body. I don't know that you people are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. Now, it may look like that physically, but if you are a Christian, you can actually make it look like what I just said. In other words, if you truly know your place in Christ, you don't view yourself from the lenses of the flesh. You view yourself from the lenses of your spirit by the word of God. I don't know that if you get what I'm trying to say. In other words, I am not flesh and blood. I am Simon, a spirit being that has a body as part of my constituent. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So we may now ask, why do I need a body? So that I can dwell upon the face of the earth. And so that God can flow through me upon the face of the earth. So finally, the tabernacle of God in the finally is supposed to be the beginning and the middle. I hope I'm not confusing you. See it more like mapping. The finally is supposed to be the beginning. Because in God's nature, the end is known from the beginning. And if the end and the beginning are the same, and his character is consistent, because he said, I'm the Lord God that changeth not, then the end is supposed to be the beginning and it's supposed to be today. It's supposed to be the status quo. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? In other words, if our body are going to be finally the temple of the Holy Ghost, the tabernacle of God, God wants it today. God wanted it yesterday. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It is through our bodies that God in the spirit will find expression upon the face of the earth. Now look at the algorithm. And the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst men. So that what? Men can behold the glory of God full of what? Grace and truth. It is to the end that men behold the glory that the body was given to man. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So if the body is not functioning in the capacity of your spirit, salvation will not be possible for yourself fully and for humanity ultimately. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And that's why if you look at Paul's writing carefully, anytime he's talking about the finished work in terms of it manifesting fully in the life of a believer and ultimately in our generation, in the world, on the earth, he always speaks about corruption in the body and speaks about the body being what? Perfected by the finished work. If you look at Romans 8, for instance, after looking at 2 Corinthians, that say we groan and abode in that what is mortal be swallowed up by life. That's the ultimate. That's like the finality. It seems as if Paul was speaking about the end, which he is speaking ultimately about when you look at the tale of 1 Corinthians 15. If you look at that scripture chiefly, Paul is just trying to speak about the function of light. There are different speed upon the face of the earth. Alright? Even though our eyes blink in split seconds, the Bible says, sorry, not the Bible yet, natural physics and chemistry sciences says there's a speed that's higher than what happens when we blink our eyes. What's that speed? The speed of light. Powerful than the speed of rocket and etc., isn't it? Now, nothing is as fast as the speed of light. Yet, God calls himself the true light. Are you listening to me? You are in a room that is dark. Immediately there is light. You begin to see, you have clarity and can do everything you can do in the room. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to explain. Imagine you were suffering. I'm talking about light now in physicality. You were suffering and your father kept money for you under his bed. He locked it. You always sweep in that place. You didn't know that there was a lock under. And one day you carry one manuscript. He has been telling you to read something. Like I heard the story of a young man. He said his mother wanted to give him a car or something. I hope I really remember this story. And he has been trusting God for a car. And the mother said, read your Bible. Anytime he comes to the mom will say, go read your Bible. And one day he took his Bible to read. And he saw a check for the car while he was reading the Bible. And he was shocked that the check has always been there. She wanted to teach him something. But he was always crying. I need a car. And the day he opened his Bible to read, he found that there was a check there. And he went and got his car. And he said that is why his faith in God is very strong. That you may be having problems. When you open the Bible, you see solution for all your problems. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? That's light again. Unlike the natural light. It works in the same way but in different dimension. When light comes, there's clarity. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's clarity. Now, take for instance, that boy has been suffering. The moment, natural light can help him open. So there's a disadvantage even to natural light. That's what I'm trying to say. Going deeper. Natural light is the reason why he can sweep the house. And all the dirt he saw, which is natural eye, he cleaned them. But there's something he couldn't see until he had an information. He saw something again. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And probably when he opened his father's letter, let's take for instance that guy now that is sweeping the house. And the father will say, there is a lock under my bed. He opens and he's looking at the ground. He said, count 3 tiles from the left, 3 tiles from the right. Shook an iron, a knife, and open the lock. And he does that and something opens. He's shocked and he sees millions of dollars there. He said, that is for you. Enjoy yourself. And with the Lord. What will happen to the life of that young man that day? Somebody who they know to be very wretched and poor, all of a sudden, everything about his life will change. The Bible speaks about the glorious inheritance that is in the saints. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Glorious inheritance. Blessed Peter said to us in 2 Peter 1, he said, by the knowledge of these great and precious promises, he said, when we get that knowledge, when we understand that knowledge, something happens to us. Now he's saying a dimension of the thing that happened. He said, one of the things that happened is that we now become partakers of God's divine nature. That means you could have been living as a natural man all these years. The moment your revelation knowledge hits you, boom, you say, no, I'm not a natural man. I'm a partaker of God's divine nature. But if you don't understand these things, you would think we're saying rubbish. Because the later kill it, you need the Holy Spirit that I started with to understand this truth and enter into this life of God. That's what the Bible said, the later kill it, but the Spirit giveth life. All of a sudden, Paul said, Peter speaking, I mean, when you understand a measure of this knowledge, this glorious inheritance, something happens to you. He said, one of the things that happens is that you find out that you are a partaker already. The day he said he finished, he made you a partaker of his divine nature. And said, since you are a partaker of God's divine nature, as a consequence, something has happened by default. You have escaped the corruption that is in the world through loss. You can't be a partaker of God's divine nature and be subjected to the corruption that is in the world. It's not possible. But what did I say? This reality I've said, alright, is as powerful as the revelation of the reality. Because if you don't know it, it will not happen. A lot of people don't know that it's knowledge that controls his life. Knowledge. Why will I not sin? Why will I not do that? Not because I'm powerful enough, but I read the scripture and I saw revelatory knowledge about what Jesus has done for me. And I said, ah, if this thing is true and I dare to believe, I will not become like the world. I'll become like what Paul said, an alien upon the face of the earth. An alien. People are like, what kind of a being is this? We all are doing like this. When men say there's a casting down, look at what Paul even said, or scripture said. He said, when men, meaning we are not mere men. He said, when men say there's a casting down, we will say, there's a lifting up. He said, let the weak say. Let the poor say. You see that? He said, we have escaped. If you understand physics, you know what I'm talking about. Escape velocity. He said, we have escaped the corruption in the world by default, by the reason of the arrangement that happened in our spirit man, and that we gain, that we have understanding of that arrangement in our spirit man. Our body now has escaped the corruption that is in the world. Our body has escaped it. So all you start seeing your body as is one that has what? Escaped. You don't see your body that as one that is addicted, but one that has escaped. You wake up in the morning and say, well, I used to be here, but I've escaped. I escaped. When somebody says I've escaped, it means you can't catch the person again. That's why I'm telling you the story. I escaped. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The Bible says we have escaped. We are not trying to escape. Allah Boshivahai. Meaning God is trying to make you understand that you should not be the one to try to stop sin. You have stopped sin. See yourself as the one that have stopped. Your new nature has stopped sin. Cannot sin. I hope you don't think I'm preaching heresy. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? This new nature cannot sin. So you start seeing yourself as one that cannot sin. See, Pastor, everybody can sin. Why are you saying that kind of thing? Nobody is perfect. Why do you think nobody is perfect? Bring your strong reason. Tell me why you think no human being can be perfect. Bring all your strong reason. Your only reason is the experience of men. I know one pastor. I know, in fact, even in the Bible, Samson, blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about Paul. That's Old Testament. Look, let's talk about people that understand what Jesus did for them. Let's talk about Pastor Peter in scripture, Apostle Peter. Let's talk about Apostle Paul. Go ahead. Let's talk about Timothy. Can you hear any dirtiness tied to this man? Because they understood the finished work of Jesus. Why did we hear it for Solomon? He did not understand. Why did we hear it for David? They did not understand. That's why they can marry and have concubines. Because they've not found true rest. Christ was not revealed in their days. So no matter what they take, what drink they take, what number of women they have, they can't be satisfied. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But the Bible said Jesus Christ is the bread that when you eat, you hunger no more. And it's the wine that when you drink, you thirst no more. So if you are in the 21st century, after that the New Testament has been revealed to us, and you are still not finding rest, you still prefer a lot of women like Solomon, you are living with the ignorance of Solomon. You are here now. Jesus has already died. But you like alcohol, like probably one of the old people in the Bible, old kings in the Bible. You are ignorant as they were ignorant. The Bible says, until today, wherever the wrong thing is being preached, a veil covers their eyes. Until today, wherever Moses is preached, emphasize. You know, when the Bible says Moses, some people, they ignorantly say things like, Moses grew in God and became a dispensation. That's not what we mean there. When God said it, take it literal there. It is as literal as it sounds. Moses was himself. The Bible says wherever Moses is being preached, a veil covers people. If Moses was a dispensation, a veil should not cover people when he's preached. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But do you know why a veil covers people? Now, we're not saying Moses is evil, but God gave him the power to decide what should be true, good from what should not be good. So outside the Ten Commandments, Moses had over 300 laws that he created. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? God gave him that power to create it. But God himself knows what is right from what is wrong. Moses had not gained capacity yet to understand this New Testament dispensation from his days and ultimately understand what is supposed to be right from what is what? Wrong. Jesus was not dead, buried, and resurrected in that time. Moses didn't have the Holy Spirit. Moses didn't know Christ. Moses would have not ultimately understand what is right from what is wrong. So we can now agree that Moses actually preached himself. He gave himself as laws. What he thinks personally that is right, he gave it. What he thinks personally was wrong, he gave it. That doesn't mean God did not speak sometimes through Moses. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? But ultimately, God gave him the power to give the people laws. So Paul said to us, if Moses is being preached, and of course that was not disrespect to Moses, meaning we can decide to preach what God said to said through Moses. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? As a message, and it will be powerful. But if it is, if everything we are saying is everything Moses himself discovered, you see, a veil covers our face. And we can substitute Moses for anybody. If what is your belief today is what a man discovered, not what God said, a veil will cover your face. He said, but when one is turned to Christ, that veil is lifted up. That veil is lifted up. So you can tell that somebody is living wrong because of the information in his heart. And ultimately, if you really want to live right, check where you attend. Because God now narrows it down to the priests, meaning the leaders of the church, the pastors. He said, because they refuse sound doctrine. That is why now my people are perishing for what? Lack of knowledge. Because what they don't know, they can't teach anybody. Are you getting me right now? And I want to end with this subtopic. Alright, let me just say this one fast and I'll say that main one as we close. This is exactly how many believers and many clergymen perceive Satan today. There has been a rise and a fall of sincere Christians. Has there been? Sincere pastors and bishops who served faithfully for 20, 30 years probably and then collapsed in a way that made the devil look so mighty. Has it happened? And when we see all of this failure, we are giving credit to Satan every time. You know, many Christians today are very careful and so the resultant effect conscious of Satan because they are seeing his effect in the life of others almost every day. That's why you see a preacher with so much congregation. When he wants to talk about Satan, you see the seriousness on his face because he has seen Satan's impact over the years. And it is that emphasis on Satan that gives Satan his power, that makes Satan powerful in the lives of people. Like one time I heard somebody describing Satan. I couldn't help it but began to laugh. He said, I submit to you, if you have not stayed with God, don't dare Satan. He said, for instance, I was somewhere the first one I heard, I was somewhere and when we were ministering to somebody, the person levitated. You have not stayed with God and you are going to... Now, I believe we are supposed to stay with God. But my problem now is the emphasis on Satan. That Satan levitate does not mean he's powerful. Power has only one address. You meet Satan and tell him, if he's trying to display some power, say, well, this world is not power. There's only one address for power. Somebody who understands the finished work when he interfaces Satan, which will never happen because Satan will not want to come around that atmosphere. But when he interfaces Satan, Satan becomes a toothless snake at that point. More like fulfilling 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, death, where's thy stink? Nothing about Satan can work for the believer that knows his place in Christ. The sting of death is ultimately removed because your gaze is on Jesus. And no matter the effect he has on you, it will not find expression. Because who are you looking at now? Jesus. But if you set your gaze on Satan and what he's doing, you keep on feeling the pain. As Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so will the Son of Man be lifted up. And if you are wise, you look at him to live and survive that pain. And in fact, the people, they began to live as if nothing beat them. Because their emphasis was Jesus now. But if you say, I want to solve the problem, they would have died. So tonight, set your gaze on Jesus. And you come out from that problem. I get almost sick when I hear Christians emphasize Satan. Talk about problems. How are you doing? I'm fine, just that things have not been right with me. Things are right with you. They are not left with you. They are very right with you. And the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter I'm brighter unto the perfect. They can't say, how are you? You say, I have a lot of things are happening in my family. Things are bad. Things are okay. What did I tell you in the beginning of the year? When I was telling you about the pilots. That if a pilot was to take a flight, now all of you have mine. Some of you are traveling to different states with plane. Where is the road to Lagos on air? Where will you bend to and bend to get to Lagos? I know if we are going to Abuja by land now, all of you know the road, except Pastor Ed. You all know the road. He's been going for many years, and every time we are going, he's missing the road. So anytime we are going to Abuja, I just on my Google map, because I know that if we pass here, if he's a pass here, I will check. Okay. We went one day, I entered somewhere we didn't know. We started saying, they are calling Allah. I said, Pastor Ed, where are we? I'm not sure. I said, you are not sure? We now turned. I said, we just turned because we didn't know that we were going to enter mosque or something. It was just one small road like this. We're just going straight. So from that day, I made up my mind, Google map, instead of listening to Pastor Ed when I'm traveling. Hallelujah to Jesus. So for some of us that know Abuja, amen, you know the road. You bend like this and bend like that. When you get to Lafia, you what? Okay, you are going to Lafia like this now. Let's say you are going to Lafia. Like, where will you bend to? Will you follow the roundabout like this or like this? Eh? Hey! We have plenty here. So let me leave Abuja. How about if you want to go to Nurukun? Yeah. How do you go? Go outside? Some people don't even know how to describe road. So let's just stop there. You all know the road, isn't it? But if I say, hey, now, how many of you can tell me the road? What do you trust on air? The pilot trusts his compass, map, and etc. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Nothing else. The technology he learned in school is what you would trust. Some of you saying book na scam. And yet you want to have private jets and somebody to be, and you say book na scam. If book na scam, you all don't finish. Because you go drive that your private jet by yourself and go die. So stop saying that. Alright? Nigerian government is not trying, but book is never scam. Are we together? Now on air or in air, what will happen? You will trust your map and everything you have learned in school as a pilot will just be there ultimately at the mercy of one man. I want to go to Morocco. I want to go to, like my wife now, I'm hearing some ways, she's talking with her mom, where she will meet her mom in one country. And now, I'm just looking at them. Because me, I will not go. Of course, if the mom is watching me, I said, since they want me to be following them, they can be sending the money. Do you understand? Me, I will hold the money in case she always wants the service. It's not like I want the money, but we are building church. Do you understand? So me, they should give me my own, this thing. I will travel in time. I'll travel in this thing. So now, she will enter and go. And they know they are going to Morocco. Or they know they are going to UK. How? Show us the route. Just be seeing cloud everywhere. And one man will just be doing like this. Just imagine that the man, they say the man has faint. Say, why are we not landing? And I say, you know, yeah, hello, everybody in this plane, if you can hear us, there's a little situation here. We confirm his paws are moving, that means he's not dead, but I think your pilot has fainted, so the plane is just going into a direction we are not even sure of. So all you need to do is to try to go and get that your pilot to be awake. You will see prayer that day. Everybody will agree on Jesus or whatever name first. Come back to life. Come on. Revive. Even those that don't believe in tongues, you hear, how do they do them? Yaka. Everybody. Isn't that amazing that when it's about to happen, accident is about to happen, everybody shout Jesus. Even Muslims sometimes say, Jesus. Because death is looking at us like this. Death is like, hi. You see people shouting, Jesus. And isn't it not amazing that anytime we want to travel, people repent at bus stop? Have you observed that thing? Nobody ever pursues that preacher that is saying, people of God, I want to just say a word to you. And nobody pursues. That's the only time some people give seed. So I want to talk to you people for 1 minute, because we don't know, and they know how to talk, those guys. Nobody knows tomorrow. What if we are going for this journey now? Somebody, maybe today is your last. Nobody knows. Everybody will say, preach, pastor. Where will you spend eternity? Blah, blah, blah. So as I'm going now, whatever you want to appreciate the man of God with, they have mind. They will tell you to appreciate them. They know, because they know that at that point, most people will appreciate. See, somebody say, pastor, take. But when they're on Facebook, it's to be bashing pastors. But they know how to repent. Then you see some brothers giving their life to Christ. If you want to receive Jesus, say this of the Lord Jesus. Yeah, Lord Jesus. And they know how to pray funny prayer. Some have died today, some have died on the road. But as we are going, protect us with your angels. They're just trying to warn you. Like one day we're trying to come from Lagos, and this guy was preaching and praying death. Some people, I was like, what is happening in this car? Then they say, pray. And as we are going, some people have died. But I say, oh God, what is happening here? When they finished praying, where we're going, I said, please, I want to pray another prayer in Jesus' name. Some people just looked at me, what is happening? Some people say, amen. Father, every spirit of death, we remove from this atmosphere. As well, angels are everywhere. We are reaching Macaulay. In the name of Jesus, they shouted amen. They were waiting for that prayer. And guess what? As we go to one bridge, before, Satan will always prepare your mind for destruction. We're getting to this bridge at Benin. One small demonic bridge like that. I think they would have expanded it now. These guys started saying, that bridge, anywhere we are getting to, they have a discussion. That within that bridge don't do people. If you they go now, look side, you will see plenty motorway there inside the bridge. I was like, God, wait, let us pass the bridge first. Do you know, as we're getting to the bridge, people were trying to look at the motors. Someone said, hey, oh, as we're doing, hey, oh, car just came behind us. Why? Why? Come and hear Jesus. In Latin, in soprano, in bass. Jesus, 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 Edward, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I just got my new laptop that time. This is how I had my laptop and arranged my life at one corner of the car. It was just going like, woo, Jesus, woo, Jesus, woo, Jesus, woo. Till we passed the bridge, it was just going, woo, woo, till the man stabilized small. If you see the damage, the car that hit us scattered. Our own scattered from the back. And the police like, you people did not fall in the bridge. I said, yes, we are here. We're not, God, anybody will get accident for that bridge. They always fall inside. Nobody, they come out. They started telling us stories. We had to go back and start looking at the bridge, feeling the ambience, looking at the cars, and thanking God for what he has done for us. But I remember I said something very striking when we came down from the bus. I said, I didn't know that people were serious like this in this car. I was talking to one guy that was close to me. I didn't know some women were hearing me at the back. I said, people were just saying Jesus in soprano, alto, and bass. Then all of them started laughing. You know, but there's something that kept me intact that day. Some people would think it's pride. Do you know what I've kept most dear and held most dear in that car? It was the first time they bought me a laptop. I held it like this. I didn't want the screen to break. Somebody may now ask a question. Between the laptop and your life, which one is more important? Of course, my life is more important than laptop. But my life is in the hands of the Lord. I'm not sure of the laptop because I just bought it. So I wanted to make sure that this laptop joined my life in the hands of the Lord. And somebody say, but pastor, that sounds like pride. But Satan recognized that. He said, God, are you not the one that protects Job and his cattle, and his children, and his farm? Meaning you make sure that what he plants will grow, even when they don't put fertilizer. Are you not the one? Now forget every other story there. Get this one. Satan recognized God's hand in the life of Job and in the things of Job, because they belong to Job. That simply means God can guard your life. And it will take him nothing to guide everything around you. He's guiding your job. You just need to behave rightly. He's guiding your business. He's guiding all the investment that you have. And that's why you should carry God into everything you are doing. Don't leave him out. Carry God into that job. Carry God into that business. Carry God into that investment. In fact, do it because he wants you to do it. Are you listening to me this wonderful evening? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, Satan is no more powerful today than he was powerful yesterday. He has simply been leaking unaddressed for years, because what we held up as a remedy against him at the roof, right, was man-made wisdom and manufactured doctrine, not the truth. I'll use scripture to affirm this. Give me Ephesians 4 and 15 from verse 14. Truth in love, verse 15, 14 speaks that truth. Now let's read together. That we should no longer be what? Children. Who are children? Those who are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. By what? In what? Of what? That means man's wisdom will cause your life to be scattered. If you build your life on man's wisdom, the Bible said, will no longer be children. You will be immature. Your life will be tossed to and fro. Satan will be doing you like this, like badminton. He will play you like this and play you like this. Everything in your life will be scattered because it is built upon the wisdom of men. But if your life is built upon the wisdom of God, you become mature in the spirit. And you can't be tossed what? To and fro. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So we felt like we had addressed it. But Satan seems powerful today because we left that thing unaddressed. Assuming that our wisdom, that was a false wisdom, was actually a solution for the leaking roof. Are you hearing me this wonderful morning? That's why today it seems as if Satan is powerful, because like that water now, the effect has grown. But Satan is not powerful. He had only been neglected for years. That's why he seems so powerful today. He has not grown to be powerful. Power only has one address, and that address is Christ Jesus. And where is Christ Jesus? It's in you and I. Now, the first remedy did double damage. It failed to stop him. It convinced us we were covered. Assumption is very dangerous. It is worse than ignorance. I've said it several times. I'll say it again. The first remedy did double damage. It did double damage. If you have a false doctrine, your damage is severe. The Bible said, if the light in you be darkness, what you call a solution, if it is darkness, he said, how great then is that darkness? Meaning you would have actually not even known anything than to understand it wrongly. Are you seeing that? That's why religion is more dangerous. A religious man is more dangerous than a man that has never met Jesus. It is better you never met Jesus than to meet Jesus in a religious way. Take this word everywhere and sell it. It will sell. I know some people will still argue with me. But imagine Pharisees saying, crucify our Lord. Crucify him. What kind of heart did they have? With their white collar. Crucify Jesus. His blood be upon us. Now, assuming Jesus was actually saying a lie. Just assume Jesus was saying a lie. Is a pastor, is a man of God supposed to say, kill him? Let's assume Jesus was a false prophet. Why will a pastor, why will a bishop say, kill him because he is false? Why should we kill somebody because the person does not believe what we believe? Like I was eating somewhere way back, and I saw this young man. When I saw him, because I grew in the north, I knew he was an ustas. And he was just talking carelessly. And he made a statement. Now, growing in the north, I know that these things cannot happen for us there. We can't sit down and talk about their religion like that there, because they are not as patient as us. It's a truth. They will carry stones and plug your head out. I grew up there. So when I saw him, how confident, I was just smiling. I said, you see how we are. I'm not agitating that anybody touch him. Of course, if anybody tries that, I'll even go and try to defend it. But look at how blessed we are that somebody can be here saying rubbish. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And we'll sit down. Nobody will touch him. And it doesn't make us stupid. It is proof that we truly have wisdom. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So I just smiled and looked at him. He now said two things that got to me. I couldn't hold myself. He said, firstly, Christians in this Nigeria are assuming too much. Muslims are being killed more than Christians. The fire rose to my chest. I was trying to hold myself. Then the last thing he said, this Reverend Dachomo self, that thief, that arm robber. I just stood up. I was eating, I stood up. I said, hey, you stop there. Now you have touched where you are not supposed to touch. Everybody turned towards my direction. I said, you dare call a cleric man, a man of God, an arm robber? He said, yes, he's an arm robber. How can we trust him that he has truly repented? I said, your God may not be able to change people, but my God changes people. You don't understand change because of your religion. We know what change means. This God can make a former arm robber look like he has never been an arm robber before. If anybody be in Christ, he's a what? A new creation. All things are gone. And I said, you don't understand this thing. That's why you are speaking like that. Stop being disrespectful. An argument started with him again. He started. He said, hey, so you see, this is how they start. I said, nobody is starting anybody. Nobody is a foolish person to hit you here. I will not even allow anybody to touch you here. But what you are doing here, you know you cannot do it in Kaduna. Then I asked him a sincere question. I said, where did you grow up? What state are you from? He said, I live in Kaduna once, but I am from Kogi. And I said to him, with all due respect, Kogi people are not the actual Muslims. You can't find actual Muslims in Kogi. I said, if I sit well, I will read the surah more than you. I can even pray your prayer more than you. I grew up with them. I told him, if we sit down well, there are some questions I will ask you, you will not even know. And I think I can even say call for prayer more than my voice. If I even call it, you will think, you will know that I even know how to call it more than you. Just give me the mic and see what will happen. Then I said, calm down, you don't know this thing. We grew in Cornut. I left service, they call it mass because I grew in a Catholic church. I left service knowing two boys who served the mass that day, who were burned alive. We watched them on a Sunday. They went home. They were born. They did not die of sickness. They held the mother's hand in Abakpa. I have all the information. There's a place we call Abakpa. If you are in Kaduna, where Idomas and Igalas dominate. There's a church there they call Holy Cross. It's a Catholic church. They made that church in the form of a cross. You follow Ngwankanawa or through Kurmimashi to get to Abakpa. They burned those children alive. They locked the hands of their mother. She was crying. They put her in her room, Sharia 2000, and burns that those two children alive, leaving the mother watching them like, what are two children die without doing anything? That's one of the least things that happen. These are people that think they have God and they believe in one so-called God. I said, that thing has put a mark in my heart. And I'm sorry, I was telling the guy, I'm sorry if I sound disrespectful. It has made me to feel like your religion is a violent religion. I'm saying this for the whole world to see. I don't insult, I'm not insulting them in any way. But with all of these things I've seen, where is the excuse that it's not a violent religion? And I asked him a question. If I say Muhammad is an idiot or he's stupid, for instance, now, if I say that, do I deserve death? He now looked at me. I said, oh, you think I deserve death? I said, firstly, we're in Makodi. If you come close to me, I'll kill you in split seconds. Because I know I did not break Nigeria's protocol, I did not break Nigeria's law. I just disrespected you. Even though I know disrespect is wrong, I did not disrespect Nigeria. I don't know that people are getting, I'm trying to explain to you. So I now ask him, in this regard now, does Deborah deserve death? He said, no, but she insulted the prophet. I said, can you imagine your head? You have mind. And I entered that discussion. You have mind to say this thing here because we are just looking at you. That's why he said, hey, Pastor, don't put me in trouble. People that knew me as pastor, when they call me pastor, they started calling me pastor. Then, you know, they can be very, there's a way they behave. You know, some people are like that. When you finish them, they will not start trying to blackmail you. Is this what you preach to your congregation? I say, hold it there. Come to the congregation and see. But you see, we can't be cowards in this country. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We can't keep on being cowards. Somebody needs to tell you that you are practicing rubbish. Except there's something more to what you are practicing right now. If there's nothing more to it, you are practicing rubbish, sir. And I asked him a question. I said, what is the meaning of jihad? He said, jihad just means to travel. I said, it's a lie. You are giving it a nice name. To travel upon who? Travel over which people? I said, there need to be a lot of editing. And if you don't want, go and create your country. We can't have Nigeria and have Nigerian constitution and have Sharia constitution. How can we? Are we that? That in Kaduna now there's another law that God that is subjected. Nigeria's constitution, entire constitution, is under the mercies of Sharia's constitution. They can just stand up as coward and kill somebody because he insulted Muhammad. Meanwhile, Nigerian law says you cannot do that. And the leadership cannot do anything. So somebody needs to make them understand that this is foolishness. With no disrespect. You know, they say, when somebody says with all due respect, the person wants to disrespect you. But this is not the case here. And I told the guy, I grew up in the North with all due respect. I know Northern things more than you. I think he was talking about, firstly, what he started with, because I didn't put my mouth in all of those discussions. He said, hey, Rufai is the best governor. He stabilized Kaduna and the rest. I think some of you need to really know politics small. I think being ignorant totally is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. You know, I was watching something yesterday, and I asked my guys around me, because we're working at home. You know, I do tech, so we're working together. I was like, are you people seeing what is happening in the state? He said, no, sir, I don't used to watch. But I said, you need to watch. That's the problem with Christians. Why don't you want to know about politics? Why? What if God wants one of you here to become the next governor? I know you are just laughing now, right? Do you think it's not a good thing? You are complaining they are not doing well. You go and do well. Did God create us and say, politics, Christians, mba? Did he say that? You want this state to be good one day, you are avoiding politics. You are in trouble. You are in trouble. You want Nigeria to be good one day, you are avoiding, like some of you who don't have voters card, you are part of our problem in this country now. You are part of our problem. There is bandits and there is you. If they say, why is it that you don't have, you say, my business, I know if you close my shop. They go close your shop for you one day. If you can't close it today, they will close it. If you don't close it for one day, they will close it forever one day. Is it not Sharia court that went to close somebody's shop in Lasarawa one time? They went with a verdict and said, we are, according to our constitution, we are supposed to close your shop. You can imagine. I always tell my father this, and he always tells me, thank God I'm not a military man. But I always tell him this. I said, I really thank God, God did not allow me to go that path. My father forced me to become a military officer because he grew up there. He's a military man. And he grew in the ranks. So one day his boss told him, because of a certain thing we cannot give you, bring your son, let's make him a military officer. So they told me to write jam and everything. And of course, when I saw that the Lord didn't want me to do it, I went and changed my institution to BSU. So, one day we were talking, I said, sometimes when I see what people do in this world, my heart just remembers that I had this opportunity to be a military man. And if I was a military man now, I'm not telling you a lie, my rank would have been a major. I would have been a major. I knew Yerima in the barracks. He's a senior captain. I think one of my friends was telling me that the year we wrote NDA, that was the year he wrote to, that Yerima that dealt with Wike. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I was telling my dad, I said, that's the only way I would have dealt with some kind of people in this world. Because we know the military power is independent of the government power to an extent. You will not understand this truth, but it's hidden. I said, some people are terribly wicked. They are wicked. I said, me facing a bandit and you give me an order that I should not shoot. The phone will not be working well. You'll just be like, shh, shh. Like some of my friends. Yeah, we talk. There are people... This military is only in God's hands. I know what I'm telling you, people. Others now are just being mismatched. I know what I'm telling you. I was talking to somebody, he said, Pastor, if you give me wrong order, the phone will stop working. That's what is happening right now. That they would tell him to go to a certain location with like 20 soldiers. And Boko Haram, there are like 200. So he would just be saying, sir, I can't hear you, sir. Sir, I can't hear you, sir. I end the call. And sometimes he will pick and say, sir, we have gone, we have come back. Thank you, sir. No casualty. We couldn't kill them till they escaped. Thank you, sir. Everybody has gotten sense now. You know, one of those nights, Pastor Benson woke me up. And where, what is that? Sir, as I'm talking to you, I'm currently in a deep part of the forest. I don't even know where I am with my boys. We went to rescue some children. I said, hey. That's how my sleep just vanished. Because my boy is in the middle part of the forest. He does not even know the forest where he is. With soldiers everywhere. Father, in the name of Jesus, send Angel Michael now. All my angels move. Create a garrison around him. Rego fire. Angels move. Hallelujah. And thank God they gave him pass to come and rest some sort of. Hallelujah to Jesus. Our country needs prayers. He needs our prayers, people of God. You see all this revelation I'm preaching? It's sweet. But sometimes when you think about our country, the revelation will almost want to vanish. That is why, as a man of God, if you don't talk about the wrong things happening in this country, you are not being a sincere man of God. Because if you don't voice out, who should voice out? The government, governors are compromised. You know, governors are at the mercy of the president. They can't say the truth. The last hope of this country is not even the military. We used to say military before. It's not the military. I know what I'm telling you. I understand that word very well. The last hope of this country today is the church. You know, I heard a preacher, and I want to close with this. We'll continue this on Tuesday. He said, when we just did the election, he said, God has brought Saul. Let David wait. David will come later. All these things will understand it. Who is Saul? Tinubu. Who is David? Peter Obi. So let David go and wait. This David don't hold. Do you understand? We don't know how long this David will wait. Because David defeated Goliath when he was before he became 20. But this David don't reach, don't they reach 60. But no problem. He told the nation to pray for the president. That's what he said. Today, they say talk about politics and the wrong things happening. Anytime they ask him the question, he will reject it. The last thing he said was this. I know his voice will hear. He said, this country, we two pastors were citizens. The way we are seeing the country is the way you are seeing. Don't look at pastors. Look at your president. Look at your government. Now, imagine such a statement. That's really wrong. If we can't talk as pastors to the government, who should talk? Even in Bible days, normal citizens don't talk to the kings. God always raises prophets to go and confront kings. Think about Moses. Go and tell the word. Pharaoh the king, to let my people go. This is how God confronts government. The people could not go because they were thinking as slaves. God had to raise a man and say, go. Who told you Israelites didn't have leaders in Egypt? They had leaders who were looking at them, who were governing over them. Some leaders in Egypt, they had it. But those guys were compromised. So God said, where is this guy that is confident, that is bold? He didn't take somebody that is used to slavery. He took a Moses. Moses that he raised in the palace. Laboshikafaha. I want you to catch this truth now. Because a lot of times, if you are a slave, you cannot confront your master. He had to raise Moses in the palace so that Moses will have a certain level of confidence. Moses lived with big men. He lived with great men. He lived with kings. His esteem was high. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What we're celebrating here is not the fact that he had food to eat and clothes to wear and was a big boy. No, but for the fact that God had to raise him with men who thought they were lions so that he can think like a lion and confront a lion. And when it was time, God said, go on. That is why he went to confront Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh, let God's people go. No slave could do that. No slave could do that. So if you are hoping on certain people, and even men of God who are seeing themselves as slaves today, because listen, the Bible said the gift of a man is a law. It makes way for him. They buy you land, you want to talk to who? The governor built the church. Who do you want to tell that is not governing well? But you see, the truth is that we are not saying that anybody that wants to help should not come and help. But if that help will quench truth, the fire of truth in your heart, that help did not come from God. Because look at it. People die. You cannot talk for people who are dying. You want to do crusade for people who are alive. It's not people who are alive that can receive Jesus. If anybody has died, can they receive Jesus? Think about it. Don't come and do crusade in our state. Tell the governor, the government, tell the president he's not ruling well. Don't come to our state after they kill people and do crusade and share rice. Is it not the living that will share? You know, we are so doubt in our thinking. They kill in a certain state, you come and you are sharing rice. For us to live to die one day. People don't think deep. People think so shallow. They kill in your state. You go there. You lead a prayer. Then you go back and you are seeing them in meetings with these people. You are seeing them going for special thanksgiving, praying for these people. You think you can confront these people. That is why God started raising men. Listen to me carefully. I'm a prophet. God started raising men like Datomo purposely upon the face of the earth, especially in Nigeria. That man is something glorious in the realm of the spirit. He may not be a man that speaks a lot of good English and etc., which I even think he is good with. How much he speaks is even wonderful. He may not look so demure with all the cars and private jet that some so-called children on pulpit are talking about and emphasizing. But that man has a heart for the people, and that is what God thinks should be in you to qualify you for an ideal man of God. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. You love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Care for my sheep. Fathers of faith, indeed, you cannot come and identify with people in crisis. Listen, we do not have a savior who is ignorant of the feelings of our infirmity. But we have elders of faith who are ignorant of the feelings of the infirmity of the body of Christ. The Bible says if one part of the body is affected, the whole body is affected. But this one, it seems as if one part is affected, their whole body is affected. One time I was talking to a friend. I said, imagine all the fathers of faith gather with Datomo and bury those 50 people that used to die in Jos. Imagine they gather and bury, and they are painting a picture to the government. We see what is happening. We are not excited. See, you see why these people that attend Equa, if you like, invite them to some of these our churches, they will not come. They feel we don't even know God. Some of them feel like we don't even know God. I was sharing a video with my wife the other day. Where they kill people and kidnap people, the next Sunday, if you hear the songs they are singing in Hausa, you'll be wondering whether these people are mad. They are singing praises to God and are dancing like nothing happened. That's real-time faith. That's real-time faith. That's why sometimes they look down on whatever we're doing, you know, as Pentecostals. And I think I challenge the whole church to begin to think like this. I currently understand that Equa, and that's why they are under high attack by these bandits. Equa have raised more disciples who converted from Islam than any denomination in this country. They have a Bible school that when you convert as a Muslim, they you stay there, they train you until you grow. Have you seen some evangelists today that their names are Usman? The product of those places. I have a friend who lives in Maiduguri who tells me this. He's an evangelist in Maiduguri. We discussed these things with him. He was telling me his story. Just hearing him, my wife was aware. I laid on the ground. I could not raise my head up. I cried till it was evening. I could not. He said, the Lord told me to leave U.S. I said, U.S. He said, yes, sir. I said, where did the Lord tell you to come? I asked. He said, Maiduguri. And the Lord told me that I have a great work to do here as an evangelist. I said, sir, you were in U.S. He sent me pictures. He didn't want to argue. See me, this is what I do in the U.S. I said, where is your family? He said, well, I didn't bring my family. It was me that God called. So I want to come and do it alone. My son is in Abuja. He just told me everything. I said, but me here, I'm here, and I'm suffering right now. At the end, I found that he was suffering from tuberculosis. He could not access hospital, no drugs. It was just in one part where they bring these people that are repentant, and they are able to smuggle them to a Bible school where they are trained. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They send people who dress like these bandits, some of them without guns. They smuggle into forests, get to places where these bandits are, some of their families, sorry, and are preaching to them. Then he said, as at so-so months, at this so-so years, we have converted over 500. I said, 500 what? He said, Muslims. I couldn't help it. I said, sir, I want to partner with you. That kind of thing, I don't need a lot. I said, I want to be partnering with you every month. Just send me your account number. That day, I was able to send him something by God's grace for his health, even though we don't know when he will buy drugs. And we continue like that. And you have people in Makurdi that they say Saturday for evangelism. And they can't come. It's an insult to God. You don't know who this God is. They say evangelism. They say, my back pepper me small. So as I move the back, you can't pepper me where. Now I say, make I just sleep. When people don't understand kingdom, they should not even serve God. They shouldn't do anything in church. The Bible says when you train people in the Lord, he said they will now be capacitated to do the work of the ministry. I am not one of these popular pastors that tell you what you want to hear. If you are not capacitated, wait. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You must love the Lord with the whole of your heart, strength, and mind as a function of understanding Him. Are you here this wonderful evening? When I heard my friend that day, I told myself, I said, God have mercy on us. We truly don't know what we are doing. Look at what people are doing. All I could see was Paul. The stories of Paul, how he had been shipwrecked several times, stoned almost to death. Yet he will stand up and all he's thinking of is the next city. And you are telling me somebody is in BSU, they cannot preach in the whole class in a day. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? And tell them Jesus loves you. And invite somebody to church. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If the Bible said, prophesied that the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the water will cover the sea, with how you are practicing Christianity today, are you part of fulfilling this prophecy? Are you part of it? When the Bible said the endless expectation of creation awaits the manifestation of the sons of men, do you think you are part of this prophecy being fulfilled? How many people have you led to Jesus? See, Christianity is not all of this, is all. The Bible says, prove your call, do the work of an evangelist. Let us know if you are a Christian. How many souls have you win? That's what the Bible is saying there. Prove your call by doing the work of an evangelist. And I told you, God did not call somebody to be an evangelist so that we'll be admiring the person. He gave some people gift and called some people evangelists so that we can see his possibilities. See, God wants people to go and talk to other people and bring them to the fold. Through the life of an evangelist, we can learn that. And say, okay, we may not be evangelists, but this grace is available for the body of Christ. And we'll go and start with the souls. Why do we have apostles? Not that anybody brags that is an apostle, but that God wants us to look at a man who can enter into a territory where he knows nobody and start a movement and it will grow. And so that every Christian can look at that man and say, ah, that means if they send me to BSU, if they send me to UniAgri, if they send me to start a cell, the cell can grow. I can see this possibility in the life of this man. Meaning this grace is available for all. Why do we have prophets? So that God, through our lives, when we are talking to people and seeing the problems, you can say, so I can actually see a problem. I can actually see a thing before it happens. Then you trust God that grace is already what? Working on your inside. And trust God to be able to see a problem before it what? Happens. Not so that we are supermen. Are you listening to me? Prove your call by doing the work of an evangelist. When they say win soul, it shouldn't be a burden. Meanwhile, did God not say in his word, take upon yourself my yoke and burdens, that you may find rest in your soul? It's taking upon yourself God's yoke and burden, trusting God early morning prayers alone, which is not bad, alone for your needs, coming to church just for your need, trusting God to just marry her. Is that taking upon yourself? That is why you have not found any rest. To your pursuit, there is no end. You keep on pursuing things. Oh, even at 70, you have something you want to achieve in terms of your needs. It is only when you take God's yoke and burden that you begin to find purpose in life, rest for your souls. You do something, you feel so fulfilled. You may not have everything, but like Paul said, godliness. This is what we call godliness. Not saying, God, give me. But by carrying God's burden. Are you going to get what I'm trying to say? And living with his yoke. It's a godliness with contentment. You can't have that contentment if you don't really understand godliness. He said that is great gain. Meaning there are some people who think that with how they are serving God and the rest, whatever they have right now is okay for them. You can't convince them with things that they should follow the world. I may not have all the things, but with what I'm doing for the Lord, brother, carry your things and go. And who says I will not have it finally? In this world, the Bible says, whatever you lose for my sake, you will gain it 10 times. What did he say? In this world. I'm not one of those preachers that believe that it is when you die that God will reward you. God will reward you in this. Prove your call. We can change this city. So madly grew the word of God in the city of Ephesus. It was said in the Bible that the word of God grew in a certain city called Ephesus, and the church prevailed. Meaning they went to street by street preaching, and they discovered that people were getting born again. And there's a lady here, permit me to use her. I forgot that your name. Yeah, what's that? What? Salome. We're talking with Salome. She came to greet me last week. I miss the many things we spoke about. She said, I can't really remember the story, but it's very prophetic. She said, she has been trusting the Lord when she received Jesus in Port Harcourt. She has been trusting the Lord for a church to attend. And somehow, I think she said she saw me online or something, I can't really remember. Then, she was just trusting the Lord, but she had not had the impetus to come. But coincidentally, when she asked somebody for a church, that they should suggest her a church, the person still suggested our church, even though she didn't know her venue. But she still did not come. You know that day I told you that I feel we should go and do evangelism? That first Saturday, when we went for evangelism, some people met her. Immediately they were talking to our neighbor. Our neighbor told her that it is you they came for. That church we are talking about, the people have come. She just came outside, and that's how she told herself, this is not a mistake, I am coming to church. See, there's a high possibility that if we never went that day, Salome would have never come to church today. When I watched her, just 1 week, I saw her dedicatedness. I was just wondering, this one is seeming like she has been in church for 5 years. Midweek service, she, you know, coming and coming. And I was wondering, who is this person? Maybe I've known her before. And do you understand what I'm trying to say? And somebody may say, maybe it's just one soul we won that day. But for one soul won in heaven, there's a great celebration. Great celebration. One soul won on the earth, great celebration in heaven. Meaning God does not care if we spend 60 million to win one soul. 60. In fact, I was just trying to be careful. God does not care if we spend the worth of Elon Musk today just to win one soul. I want you to see how powerful a soul is. What can a man offer in exchange of his soul? God is asking the question. Tell me what anybody can offer in exchange of one soul. There is nothing in the world and even in the heavens that can be offered for one soul. Because if Jesus did that for a soul, gave his life for a soul, for souls, nothing is too much to give for souls. That's why we take time to spend for programs where we are spending, and this is just the beginning. We'll come to programs that will be telling you we spend 5 million and 10 million just to make that program, because we want to bring everybody to come and hear. Pastor, some of them will come and hear, they will not even apply it, no problem. At least we have sown a seed in their hearts. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I heard this from Dr. Caris years ago. He said something so powerful. He said, when you understand the sacrifice of Jesus, there is nothing you do for the Lord that will be worth being called a sacrifice. That if you understand the sacrifice of Jesus, there is nothing you will do for the Lord that will be worth being called a sacrifice. You know, when you don't understand the sacrifice of Jesus, you say, I did that for the church. You can never do anything for the church. What Jesus has done for the church is enough. In fact, that is why you even came to the church, because of what he did for the church. You didn't do it for the church. It was your response of what Jesus has done for you that you are just showing through the church. But if you think you are doing it for the church because you don't understand the finished work, and that's why you begin to have problems. After all I've done, who are you? And what did you do? Something he bought with his blood, you did. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus. So it's time to wake up. Prove your call. This Saturday we will go again. Prove your call. Some people are forgetful hearers of the word. Forgetful. When they leave church now, it vanishes. Why did you not come on Saturday? I was suspecting one customer would pass. Don't you know that if you come for the evangelism, God will tell the customer to wait? When you finish and are going, as you are opening the shop, the customer will come. So people don't see things like that. Just for evangelism, if we all focus on our business, who will serve God? Who will serve the Lord? I could not open my shop that God started. I could not close my tailoring shop that He gave me money to start and gave me the customers. Should he remove His grace? You know, sometimes the most available things are the most disrespected. I said something on my status yesterday while I was meditating. Oxygen. So disrespected. But let oxygen stop in a day. Let God just say, in 5 minutes, we're going to stop oxygen. We just want to test something. And all you have is carbon dioxide. All of us here will be dead. But have you ever seen anybody praying for oxygen? Okay. Have you ever seen anybody thanking God for oxygen? Even myself as a preacher, I can't remember when last I thanked God for oxygen. I just hope that anytime I say, "Thank you, Father," I'm covering oxygen inside. Father, I thank you for oxygen. And for carbon dioxide and everything. So important. Have you seen where children buy oxygen for children? Those who are dying, they say buy oxygen in the hospital. Do you know how much they sell oxygen today? Don't look down on God because He's always available. I'll end with this. Sometimes God will bless you in such a way, and that's how God is. No matter how stupid you are, a lot of times it doesn't stop the blessing of God. Especially because of your congregation. Listen very carefully. Saul was not a good man, King Saul. He was such a terrible king. But when he entered amidst prophets, he began to prophesy. In other words, God, the grace did not come upon him as I am manifesting because he was a good king. It came upon him because he came amidst the company of what? Prophets. There are some things that will happen for you because of where you are. It's not pride, it's truth. It will happen to you, not because you are a good person. Now, that doesn't mean that you should not change your bad character. You see somebody, God has changed their life. You know, say, come for evangelism. And say, Pastor Peter, every time, you'll be telling people to come for evangelism. Pastor Peter, every time. You know, these Pastor Peter's members, departmental people, very careless people, most of them. Hallelujah to Jesus. So unserious. Sometimes, I think last 2 weeks he met me, they don't come for evangelism. I said, they are very careless. And I'm telling them now, before the church, you are careless people. You must go and sit down and watch your dedication with the Lord. Check your heart. God, do I truly love you? It's time to wake up. You can't have one person complain about people every time. Is it because he's a short man? Sorry, tall man. It's not my HOD. He's always telling us, he's always shouting at us, are you doing the right thing? The Bible says a good child listens to the rebuke of his father. Not love message, rebuke. My friend, will you stop what you are doing? The Bible says a good child will not argue. He will listen. I was talking with some people yesterday. I said, those days we were growing up, our parents will say wrong things inside the story. When they are, especially our mothers, when they are telling our fathers what we did. Do not ask stew and meat and egg inside that story. But you dare not tell your mother she's lying. That's another sin you have created. And when Simon, when you are not around, there's nothing Simon did not tell me. He even tell me my mother. You're like, mommy, this is only my mother that I know. You did not. Then you'll be so shocked your mother will cry. Have your mother ever cried before your father? That's how Simon is disrespecting me. You're like, God of mercy, oh. God of mercy. God of mercy, what am I seeing here? My mother is crying. Because of how my mother did. There's one woman in Nigerian film, Ngozi something. I always watch her. I'll just be thinking of my mother. When she do, it's my mother or just see. If my mother do like this before my father, if he holds belt, he will hit it on your head. That is how. Simon. I'm like, I'm your son, or I'm your child. Don't put me in problem. Let them kill me now. And he may say, mommy. You, my father will not ask me. You mean your mother is lying? is now, where will I, what will I say? If I say yes, that means he is lying too. So the best, just to agree and suffer. But you see, I miss all those things. When will you ever have the impetus? I don't know of Gen Z, we millennials, that's what I've done. I don't know that children have changed now. When will you have the impetus to stand up and say, Mommy, I am tired of you in this house. And today I put it to you, you are a witch. You are a witch, you are a liar, and all liars will go to hell. You try it. The whole neighborhood will meet in the evening for your funeral. You are finished. See, there's a way we grew up. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? There's a certain kind of training we received. I was sharing with you, those days you bring phone to the house, everybody will be asking you where you get that phone. They will have an evening meeting. Somewhere, where did you get that phone? Who gave you? Your mother will tell you, take me to the person that gave you the phone. Today, a child will bring birds in the house. And the mother will stand up. In our days, people will be calling your father to call. What is happening? Your father will call some friends to accompany him. What am I trying to say? At the end of everything, we're so respectful to our parents. We're still respectful to our parents, isn't it? Who here regret being fathered by his father than mothered by their mother? Who here? That you regret that your father is your father. And you amidst all of these storylines I just said that you probably experienced. None of us here. We are so proud of our parents, aren't we? Very proud of them. Some of us made us cry. You are going for a party, you wear that skin beating. They say, come here. Where are you going to? Will you move inside? Are you a mad person? You have told your friends and everybody you are coming. You have prepared the dance you will dance. Everything was arranged. Only for your father to look at you and say you are going nowhere. Well, you will not go for the school party, but tomorrow you will go for the graduation and he will carry you there. You cried. You wondered if he gave birth to you. I don't think he's my real father. But look at you today. You are the one that carried yourself and came back to God. Your father did not follow you to church. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You are so proud. In fact, some of you, after they've dealt with you, you still found your way back to God. And now, as you remember everything your father told you, you are very happy. Ah, my father knew all this. My mother knew it. And sometimes, like I always say, your mothers may want to be soft. And that's why sometimes they manipulate you to think your father hates you. Yeah. Mothers can be manipulative sometimes. Most of you, I don't celebrate Father's Day. I'm speaking as a rising father. You don't celebrate all of those things. You can't remember when last you sent your... I constantly try to do this on my father recently. Because I'm wondering, you see, when he's not alive, that I'll be saying, I wish I did it. Sometimes I look at my dad, when I think of the sacrifice, I'm almost into tears. Hallelujah to Jesus. They may have not been their best, but they tried. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And sometimes the love of a mother will just make you feel like your father is rubbish, but your father is not rubbish. Because mothers will say, take the easy route. Leave her now, leave him now. Your father will be like, he will not do it. She will not do it. Come out there! That's why the Bible did not say father's, mother's love, sorry. The Bible never said about the prodigal mother. The Bible also only spoke about the prodigal father. And the prodigal son. That doesn't mean daughters are not inclusive in the son. They are daughters in the son. And this is not any problem against, because the way this people is looking at me, I'm not against mothers. I hope we're in good terms. It's not anything against mothers. Sometimes when people look at you in church, you are wondering whether you did something wrong. People should be smiling, please, every time you look at me. Are you here this wonderful evening? It is because he loves you. And finally, that's why the Bible says, he that the Father loves, he what? Why are you doing like that in church? Hear to this. My friend, why are you doing like that? You are not singing next Sunday. Like now, they are not singing this Sunday and next Sunday. You are not going to do that. You are going to do that. You are going to do that. It's discipline. Your HOD call you and say, why are you not doing like that? That's wrong. Rebukes you. They talk to me anyhow. Now I leave that church. I leave them. I leave the church. They talk to me anyhow. Why would they talk to me? If you go and see those people's boss, you think it's one giant. It's one lady of 21. Yes, when the lady enters office, they hold the bag. Because they pay them over 60 to 70,000 every month end. Welcome, mommy, ma. Hey, mommy, how was your night, ma? Welcome, Daaluf. Mommy, oh. You see, because of money. You don't know that there's something that sustains you even in your office. It is the word of the Lord. If you think God is not powerful, see, plug out of God for a moment and see something. You know, sometimes when firewood is inside fire, all right, when you remove that firewood, it will still be burning small. The distance will still be hot for a while. It's just a matter of time. Sometimes when you plug out from God or plug out from church, you will think you are okay. We'll give you 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Let the fire get cold. You know, you just left off, you are still burning small. When you meet human beings out there, those problems you think that we have here, you will know we don't have problems. No matter how the church is to you, never leave the church. I always tell people that, except a church where you are being abused, wrong things are happening, yeah, you can run away and look for a decent church. Noah built the ark. The Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. How? He built an ark. Anybody that enters is safe. Jesus was revealed as Christ. Anybody that comes into Jesus is what? Simple. That's how he became a preacher of righteousness in 1 Peter. He built an ark. Every animal come inside. Anybody, as long as you can come inside, flood will not destroy you. Anybody. As long as you can come in, flood will not disturb you. Where they got the rapture doctrine are there. And the Bible says, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be in the field, two will be in the ground. One will go, one will remain. One will be taken, one will remain. And when we try to do the factorization here, the substitution, I mean, what do we see here? Who left the days in the days? Who left the earth in the days of Noah? The righteous or the unrighteous? Who stayed on the earth in the days of Noah? The righteous. That means if your rapture doctrine should be like this story, we that will remain are better than you that left. That's why Paul said, we that are alive and that shall remain will be caught up, and together we shall reign upon the face of the earth. Alright, to discredit that, it's never in the Bible. But this is my point. Every animal and every human being that got into that ark was very, very okay. Now listen, there's a high probability cows were messing up that place. Animals were pooping on the ground. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's a high probability that for the days that Noah, God did not close their stomach for them not to poop and pollute. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? In fact, human beings were polluting. You don't understand what I'm trying to say. They were compressed. Look at all of you, like you don't pollute. You don't pollute. If you don't, you have so much grace. Now, for some of you who pollute, should I talk to you? Oh, wow. Hallelujah to Jesus. People were probably polluting the atmosphere. A lot of things were happening, jam-packed in the ark. If you have ever survived something, you understand what I'm trying to say. Have you ever climbed a pickup that is going somewhere you don't have transport? Has anybody ever been there before? Like the pickup is going somewhere, you don't have transport. So you just hold it in. At all, I ain't bad pass. At least you did not trek. What am I trying to say? Imagine somebody say, this cow is pooping too much. People are messing in this place. I'm leaving the ark. You want to leave the ark to where? Where there's destruction. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? That flood will finish you. Who here will leave that ark? When you are hearing the boom boom outside, who will leave? Nobody will endure. Listen to me. Never leave church. Never leave the ark because of what you see in the ark. Sometimes you will meet people who are as terrible as you in church. As terrible as you. Because if you are not a terrible person, the thing should have not affected you. You will meet people who are as terrible as you in church. And when they hit you, wow, I see this one in church too. I thought I left them in the world. It's not people from the world that come to church. The church is like hospital. You come, you see some psychiatric patient there. You come, you see some that is emergency case. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The Lord give you understanding of everything I'm saying. You come, you see some people, they are taking drip. Then you come and see some people who have been discharged. And if you go to a hospital, how many people get discharged in a day? Lesser than the people in the hospital. Then you say, I'm tired of that church. You know me, I've grown to a point that you can never use a bad name to discredit my work. GCM might add this. Thank you. We move. If we are not, who should be? Nobody can use a wrong whatever to discredit what God is doing here. It's not possible. It's not possible. Sometimes we don't pray for the worst. But as pastors, we've been trained to expect the worst. A lot of times, no time save have I ever prayed for the worst. Am I stupid? But I've prepared my heart for the worst. That's why when the worst comes, we overcome it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because on no account should souls go because of a mistake. Even though a mistake should not happen. The only time souls should go is when they are proud. When you are proud in your mistake, God says we should allow you to go. But if you are humble in your mistake, God said we should not lose you. That's why when that woman was caught committing adultery, Jesus did not come and like the Pharisee said, get her, kill her, blah, blah, blah. He didn't do that. He came there and he asked them, which amongst you have not done something wrong? And when they could not reply, with their white collar, they could not reply. He asked the woman, where are your accusers, woman? She couldn't say anybody. Jesus silences the voice of all of your accusers. He silences it. If your heart condemns you, Jesus is greater than your heart. Then he said to the woman, he didn't say go, and whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. He said, even though I've shown you my love, go, and this love can cause you to sin no more. He said, go and sin no more. So we will never drive somebody for a mistake. But if you are here, know that what you are receiving is to the end that you sin no more. Don't misunderstand our love. Our prophet is so loving. The last time I made a mistake, he just spoke to me and advised me, should I kill you before? How do I prove to you that what you did is wrong? Should I kneel down and tell you, my brother, you are wrong? You are wrong. The way I talk is the way I will still talk to you. Because I know it is not shout that changes people, it's words. You know, sometimes when you are a small child, when they talk to you, you know what to listen. Especially these young boys who think following girls is the only way out. They are talking with 5 girls at the status quo. 5 girls. Check their messenger. New girls, hi darling. Hi there. I just wanted to say hi. Just to feel the ambience. Blah, 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 blah. Put them in church group, GCMI group. They had been timing girls in church. They just start taking profile picture. Well, I've had those cases in church. Oh, high favor. I'm highly favored of the Lord. Good to meet you. You know, I've been observing you. I am Brother D's in church. My name is Brother Samuel. The one pastor used to preach last Sunday. Now, I'm with that. So, fellow church sister, how are you? You know, prophets say we should look within ourselves. And so, I'm just trying to check you out. Are you single? There are some foolish people like that. Are you listening to me? So be very, very careful. Don't be getting excited over unnecessarily. Even as a lady too, unnecessary talking terms will kill you. You are chatting with 5 boys. All of them, you need shine teeth for them. Boys can discuss anything with you. My girlfriend, how far? I know your girlfriend. No reasonable guy will not be disgusted by such a lady. Because every young man knows every young man. When a guy tells you, my girlfriend, how are you? And he's laughing. And another young man knows that thing he said, even though it's funny, it's not funny. You say, why are you being hard on the guy? He's just being a friend. You are telling me that this my guy. He's just being a friend. We know ourselves as guys. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why the way you see your lady with another guy, you are wondering, why are you being like that? No, we are just classmates. Don't be classmates with that guy, oh. The last one that was classmate with me, I know I ended. So, if I cannot trust my classmates with myself, that guy too cannot be trusted. You see, guys just know. And a lot of times, if you think these guys are blind, break up. That guy will date you. That's the proof that your ex was not lying. He will date you. So don't be doing unnecessary talking terms. You're old as a woman. You are getting old. Your oldness is more severe than a guy. Tell somebody, allow pastor hit me in the church. When a woman is 27 and a guy is 27, they are not the same age. A guy who is 27 has not even started living very well. A lady who is 27 is almost entering another realm. You will see the lady at 27 thinking of who she will marry, thinking of her home. Thinking of 27 guy. Oh, well, I don't buy PS5. Oh, who could come play with me? 27. PS5. A lady joking, wasting her time is not the same with a guy. A guy can have 2 children, divorce, and put it on Facebook. I saw it with my 2 Koro Koro eye. 2 kids, 34, open for relationship. Come and see comment section. Hi cutie. I say what? Which lady will say 2 kids, 34, open for a relationship? You know what guys will do? Madam, I beg, close the door. Are you not a Nigerian? You don't know Nigerians again. I beg. You don't spoil my day today. Delete that post. You will see rubbish things. That is why as a lady, you should not joke with your life. You dated Samuel for 2 years. I don't know why I'm calling Samuel. Who is Samuel in this church? Dated Jude for 4 years. You are dating Matthew now for 2 years. You started the relationship from 20. Samuel for 2 years. How old are you now? 22. Jude for 4 years. How old are you now? Now you are dating Matthew. This is the 3rd year. He's not talking like that. You are going anywhere. How old are you now? Matthew is still 34. He's not ready to marry. You are 29. Matthew is telling you to calm down. Say, Matthew, what is happening in this day? Calm down. I don't like when women rush me. Take life easy. Matthew, I'm not getting... See, in fact, let's give this relationship a break. Let's give it a break. At 30, Matthew wants to give you a break. Who will come and continue all that? It takes God's grace now. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm not saying you are finished. A lot of time God still does his work. They get married. But help yourself. You may see a guy sometimes crying and say, I love you. I swear to God. I swear almighty. They don't know what they are doing. Some of them don't know what they are saying. Is it not amazing that they still break your heart? Answer me now. I will not suspect you. As if your heart has been broken, shout glory. Oh my God. They didn't come to church. No problem. I hope you've learned something this wonderful morning. If you see those ladies, tell them to shout glory at home. I know your heart has never been broken, and I thank God for grace. Now bow your heads and give Jesus praise and thank him for every word you've received this wonderful morning. Lord, I thank you for your word. I understand that the understanding of your word is what giveth light and understanding and brings me into the reality of my spirit. Today I'm not in the reality of my spirit. I have left corruption and I'm into the incorruptible. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.